All right, this is the second part of the menorah study. Now, last time I was up here, we read Exodus 25 and 37, as well as a few other verses here and there, and discussed the basic description of what the menorah looked like. Now, I just scribbled up here my best guesstimate as to what I thought it would look like. It doesn't really matter what it looks like. Keep that in mind. The menorah, it doesn't matter whether it's curved branches, straight branches, whether they have the bowls in this orientation, that orientation, it makes no difference. Because what matters is the fact, what is recorded? That's what actually matters. Because the elements that God had recorded in the Torah, those are the ones he wants us to focus on. Whether or not it looks like this, how the base looks, it doesn't matter what the base looks. That's why he didn't describe a base. He didn't care what the base looked like. You make the base look like anything, assuming you didn't make it look like a demon or something like that. He may have issues with that. But overall, it doesn't matter. Most of these details don't matter. So in Solomon's version, it was curved, and all bowls and knobs are in different locations. Was that right or wrong? Who cares? It's just Solomon's version of it. It doesn't matter. So having that, we're going to go through one more time, real quick. I'm not going to read the Exodus 25 and 37 again, but points out there are a total of seven branches. There are six on each side, which we have six on each side here. Each of the branches contain one flower, one knop, or round belt, or wreath. All those are the same words. And each branch has three bowls on it. Now, on the center branch, it has an additional bowl, because it requires four on the center branch. So you have one, two, three at top, and a fourth one down at the bottom, beneath the branches, beneath all the connections. And it has an additional flower and knob or wreath on it as well. So there's a total of seven on top, flowers, knobs, and seven sets of bowls, three each branch. And then on the center one, very bottom, it has a flower and a knob and a bowl. Each of these branches come together, these little green dashes I have here. Those are the other knobs. They're the other little round discs or round hole portions that help you attach those branches to it. That's all we know about it. Where these bowls are located on the branch, we don't know. Where this flower down here at the bottom of the main stem, or where that bowl or where that knob is located at, we don't know. It's not recorded. It doesn't matter where it's located. The point is just the branch has one. Wherever it's placed, that was between God and Moses, and whoever was alive when Moses had it built. That's about it. Solomon's, of course, as we all are familiar with on Titus Gate, has a very large base to it with all the various symbols of the different tribes. It's not recorded in the Torah, because it didn't matter. It's just a choice that Solomon made. Now, his branches are curved rather than straight. Were the branches supposed to be curved? Were they supposed to be straight? We don't know. It doesn't matter. Just says that they're branches. Now, I have mine straight because that looks more like an almond tree than the curved one does. So, one possible thing. Now we've got those are physicals. Now we're going to go to all the details. Why? Why is this here? Why is the description given? What do these symbols mean? How do they affect you? How do they affect me? Are we supposed to pay attention to them? Do we care? This is your Messiah. You're looking at it. Looks kind of funny, doesn't it? But that's what it looks like. Amongst many things. But this is one of the things we're discussing today. Let's go through a little more history. Zechariah. This is chapter 4. Now this is a vision that Zechariah has. This is a vision of if I can get here real quick here. There's a golden lampstand, which of course is a menorah, with olive trees. Now, of course, the olive trees, this menorah is fueled via olive oil. There's someone who volunteered to read Zechariah chapter 4. This is verse 1 through verse 14. We're just going to read what he has. Any volunteers? Dave.
To read?
Yes, to read it.
Now the angel who talked with me came back and wakened me as a man who is wakened out of his sleep. And he said to me, "What do you see?" So I said, "I am looking, and there is a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it. And on the stand, seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. Two olive trees are by it, one at the right of the bowl and the other at its left." So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, "What are these, my Lord?" And the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, Do you not know what these are? And I said, No, my Lord. So he answered and said to me, This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hand shall also finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? For these seven rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord, which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth. And I answered and said to him, What are these two olive trees at the right of the lampstand and its left? And I further answered and said to him, What are these two olive branches that drip into the receptacles of the two gold pipes from which the golden oil drains? Then he answered me and said, Do you not know what these are? And I said, No, my Lord. So he said, These are the two anointed ones who stand beside the Lord of the whole earth.
Interesting little vision he has. Any comments regarding it? Gives you a basic description of what he's seeing. Yes, Ellie.
Well, I have that Joshua and Zerubbabel did that job then, but that in Revelations we have the two witnesses that will do that job, mm-hmm. and that they are the two these are the two anointed ones that tell the world before the Messiah comes to repent.
Yes, they are. Yes.
The other thing that's interesting is that he would have known what folk menorah looked like.
Yes, he would know exactly what it looked like. This is a different version. What he's seeing is different details.
Different.
Oh, right. Now, not that he didn't see a menorah. He most likely did. It's just he saw other details. There were the bowls. There were extra olive branches. So there were more details associated to it, which, again, we'll get into more detail as we go on. Any other comments that you noticed regarding his vision?
Yeah, the comment that he made that they were actually pipes.
Yes.
And not just, like rods.
Not just rods. So they're some tubular or hollow or some form. Exactly.
So that oil could pass through.
Could pass through it, which makes sense.
Absolutely.
Where does it say that?
Hold on a second here. Let me see.
Verse 2, seven pipes to the seven
lamps. Oh, yes, seven pipes. The end of verse 2.
I've never seen that before.
So, to the tubular. So it allows the wick and the oil to go through it. Yes, Hector.
Now, I have the Amplified Bible here.
Okay.
And I just wonder if you guys agree with what it's saying here. Now, verse 6 just kind of gets into a little bit of dialogue that me and Ellie were having regarding the oil.
Okay.
It says here, Then he said to me, This addition of the bowls to the candlestick causing it to yield a ceaseless supply of oil from the olive trees is the word of the Lord of Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, of whom the oil is a symbol, says the Lord of hosts. Yes.
That's a heavily interpreted, but okay.
Yeah.
That's heavily interpreted.
Huh?
Whether or not they're right or wrong, that's debatable.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a lot of added scripture there.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's something that would, I would be leery.
Some assumptions.
Yeah, whoever wrote that is making a lot of assumptions. Not that he's wrong, he might be right, but that doesn't matter. But he's making a lot of assumptions there.
When you make assumptions from a scripture, you
it's not a wise choice.
Wrong,
yeah. That's true. That's true. So,
what does the Lord
assume
is?
Lord. Yeah, it's a rebel. Yeah, this is what most of our says. His version says a whole lot more detail sitting inside here. He's like almost a whole extra verse or two. Yeah, all this description of what it's referring to. Yeah. Right or wrong, I don't know. That's why the detail of Amplified Version means they have expanded it. I don't know all the details regarding that. It's an interesting version, though. But right or wrong, that's for debate. What are the lamps doing?
Seeing.
Yes, what are they seeing?
plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel.
Exactly. And what does this cause them to do?
Rejoice.
Rejoice.
These are the eyes of the Lord.
So, okay. The eyes of the Lord, which is the vision here, is seeing the plumb line, the hand of Zerubbabel. Of course, what's the plumb line going to be used for?
Measuring.
To build, actually. To measure straight walls.
First stone.
Yeah, to locate them. To be accurate. So to locate them. And what does this cause the eyes of God to do? To rejoice. They like seeing this. This is a good thing they get to see.
And they go all over the place.
Yeah, they're looking, they're scanning all over the place. That's true. Their eyes go to and fro. I mean, the angels go to and fro, or the eyes of God go to and fro. So we're going to read more into this. Let's see, I'm going to go to... crud. Well, I'm going to be quite a minor interlude. So bear with me. Before we go too much detail into here, we have to go a little bit background as to the eyes of the Lord. What is that? Well, it's what God says it is. An almond blossom.
Okay.
His eye is an almond blossom.
Yeah.
Jeremiah 1, verse 11, 12. You don't have to read go there, but you certainly will. Actually, let's go there anyway. It doesn't hurt. Jeremiah chapter 1. Just a brief description. We discussed this last time that we had discussed almonds. It was an interesting point. The shochet and shached. They're play on words in Hebrew, and they're quite well done. They're done that for a reason.
Jeremiah
chapter 1, this is verse 11 and 12. I'm not going to read the whole chapter because I'm not interested in the whole details. I'm just interested in the symbol of the almond. It says, Jeremiah verse 11, chapter 1, verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me. He said, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see a branch of an almond tree. Or a rod is what actually the word is. The Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. Let me also have a different last phrase there.
Watching.
I am watching to perform my word.
I am alert and active watching over
yes.
my word.
What is the word for watching? Shached. What is the word for almond? It's the same word.
Yeah.
The almond blossom or almond is a shached and the different vowel pronunciation, the shached and shached, that sound a lot alike, because they're one and the same. It's a play on word. Jeremiah, what do you see? A shached. You're right, because I am shached for my word. I am
one
watching.
Word, one's now.
Exactly, two different things. But it's the same symbol. Yes.
God has a Jewish sense of humor.
He does have a Jewish sense of humor. What is your saying?
God has a Jewish sense of humor.
He's
sinning. That's not a gay
part of the
word. God has a Hebrew sense of humor.
So she created the language.
Now, in English, we translate the word ready, we translate it as the word ready or watching, right? Watching is the correct word. But the definition of the word shached means one that is ready to bring forth.
Hasten.
Hasten is correct. To watch. What are you watching for? I'm getting ready. What are the four horsemen watching for? They're watching, waiting. What are the eyes of God in Zechariah's vision? They're watching, looking to and fro. To do stuff. You're waiting to do something. That's what the whole point of the word itself is. So hasten is correct, but also watching is correct. Shochet and shached, it's all the same word.
Hasten my word to perform it.
To perform it, right, which is a duty, that's a task, which we're going to get to. That is in a different book. We'll discuss what he's going to perform. But we're not there yet. So, other details. Not that you have to written memorize all of this information, but what do we know about almonds? Well, Numbers chapter 17 tells us a good chunk of not about almonds themselves, but about how God has used them in the past. It's regarding Aaron's rod. As you recall, all the various priestly families, they stuck their rod up there. Of course, Aaron's produced flowers, buds, and almonds, all in one branch. All right? It's very, very famous section of the rod. What did that accomplish? What did having Aaron's rod bring forth all this stuff? Why would God choose an almond? Why couldn't he choose, you know, a pomegranate or an apple tree? Anything else under the sun? Why an almond?
They time. Because the almond...
it's from the beginning all the way through.
The end. And that's quite amazing.
It is unique.
It's a statement about time, isn't it?
That it is. It is from the beginning. I have chosen, and this is what I am viewing. Almond is the earliest to bloom, and it's not the last, but it's awfully darn close to last of fruit. Yeah. And we actually produce. Yeah, other nuts it is. The nut tree it is. Of other fruiting trees, the others do produce a little bit later, but not by much. So it is, God is saying to Abraham, to Aaron, to Moses, to all the Levites, from the beginning, the almond, I have chosen this man. And because the almond actually produces ripe almonds, it is all the way to the end, I have chosen this man. From the beginning all the way to the end, the same person is chosen. He will be there to start with, and he will be there at the very end. Nothing's going to change.
But referring to the Messiah.
Right. Well, it's a priestly line. It's the whole purpose of it. So nothing will change. He will never deviate from that selection, which is what he didn't do. That's what he did. He did not deviate. Let's see. Other details.
Daniel, I have a question. Where
yes, sir.
In Exodus, is it that Aaron's rod?
That's Numbers 17 is when this is recorded. Which other part?
The rod blossoms.
That is number 17.
That's number 17.
Chapter 17. It's most of the chapter. I don't recall all of the chapter. It's most of it. Let's see. Should I discuss this? Well, it's a side point. Nothing really matters, but I'm pointing out anyway. Aaron's rod versus Aaron's staff. Are you aware there are two different items Aaron carries? A shepherd carries a rod and they carry a staff. Two separate things. Do not get them confused. It will confuse you when you try to read through stuff.
What's the difference?
A staff is something which you walk with, all right? And then you shepherd your sheep. You grab a sheep, well, you know, sit over here, over there. A rod is something you count with. How many sheep do I see? One notch, two notch. How many notches means you have so many sheep that you're in shepherd of. A rod is also a branding iron, which you mark your sheep with. That's a tool versus a staff is a separate item. So don't get them confused. The reason I'm bringing that up is because people get the almond confused with the staff that Aaron threw down and became the snake. Those are two, you're confusing two different symbols. Not that either one of them are wrong, just don't mix them together. They're separate. They're separate for a reason. The Aaron casting his staff onto the ground, creating a snake, grabbing it by the tail, that's prophetic. That unlike with Adam and Eve, where the snake will bite your heel and you will stomp on its foot, well, that's the Aaron's act is the same as Messiah saying, I'm not going to stomp on the snake's foot, I'm going to grab it by the tail and use it. Two different symbols. Don't get them confused with each other. But I want to point that out because some people get that confused extraordinarily often.
What was the difference between the rod and the staff?
A staff is something which you walk with and you shepherd your sheep with. Okay. A rod is much, much, much smaller. It is a branding iron and marker. You count with it.
Okay.
One may argue it's trivial, but it's not trivial. Yeah, and they all walk with staff. Shepherds all use staff. You know, that's how you know, oh, sheep, yeah, hit this rock, knock that tree, and they scare them one way or the other. A rod is a counting tool.
Sheep are counted by black sheep.
Yes. Not all of them have black sheep yet.
Well,
it's one per like 500 or something like that.
One per 50.
Oh, I was told one per 500. Well, that could be one per 50.
When we had them, it was one per 50, so maybe things have changed.
It's possible. It's possible.
But that's why you can mark it on a small stick. You count how many black ones you have. It tells you how many people.
Which would make sense.
Wasn't rods used for coupling? Didn't Jacob do that? Use rods for bringing forth?
Poplar sticks. They were used. Separation. And Jacob's, yeah, they use the separation tools. But those aren't a single rod. Those are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. It's like creating a fence. Yeah, it's creating a fence, essentially. Slightly different use of it, but not bad. Okay, so it's a minor point, but I just want to make sure there was a distinction. Okay, why are we covering all this? This is the part that's actually because it becomes interesting. So just a little bit of forward with the almond blossom, the almond itself, and how it was used, how God used it. So why would he place that on his menorah? Well, he's watching. Who's watching?
God.
In particular, it says his eyes are watching,
seven
right?
Seven spirits
of God are actually watching. So let's go read a little bit about that. Because that's going to give you the whole reason as to why when you see this image, not say this particular one, but I mean the image of a menorah, you're supposed to be seeing the Messiah.
The Spirit of God.
Actually, the seven spirits of God. You're supposed to be seeing the Messiah when you look at this. And we'll discuss, we'll get there, we'll get through this. This is quite detailed as to why you're going to see it, but by the end of this, I'm hoping you... Wow, I used a lot of time. I'm hoping you'll see this. Okay, so let's go through to Revelations, because that's where all the details are at. Revelations, we'll start in chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Sorry, I always screw that up.
Revelation.
Singular, not multiple.
Revelation.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, Revelation chapter 1, verse 12 through 20. I'm going to read this if you don't mind. Now, of course, this is the beginning of the words that go to all the various churches, all the various, correction, not the churches, the angels of the churches. This is chapter 1, verse 12 through 20. Okay, Revelation chapter 1, 12 through 20. John speaking here. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke to me. Having turned, I saw, quote, seven golden lamp stands, plural. And in the midst of the seven lamp stands, like the Son of Man, clothed the garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a gold band. Recall that. All right, so we have seven lamp stands, not lamps. These are lamp stands. Seven stands.
Mine says candlestick.
You're right. Candlestick is the correct word, not lamp. Now, how do I say, why do I care? Because lamp stand in Greek is lukina. A lamp is lampas. Lampas. Two different things.
Seven golden candlesticks.
Yes, seven independent menorahs.
In fact, David Stern puts that. He's menorahs.
He's absolutely correct. This is not a singular item all built into one with seven lamps on it. No. If that was the case, it would have said standing in the midst of the seven lamps.
Yeah.
It doesn't say seven lamps. It says seven luchina, lamp stands. The whole stand is seven of them. So how many menorahs is he standing amongst?
Seven.
Seven independent menorahs. How many lamps are on a menorah?
Seven.
49.
There are 49 lights there.
Wow.
He's seeing quite a few.
That's a lot of
light.
Plus
him. Good point. Yeah, it does speak to the kids. He's like one. Okay. Yes, seven candlesticks. Candlestick and menorah, those are synonymous, the same word. One's in English, one's in Hebrew. Luchina is Greek for the candle stand. It's a stand itself. It's a menorah. As opposed to a lamp. A lamp is a single item, single stick, single flame. That is a lamp. Multiple lamps means more than one. You have to have multiple lamps on it. That makes sense. So it has 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 100, 1,000 lamps on one stand. That's a lamp stand. You cannot have a single lamp on a lamp stick. It would be called lamp stick, not a lamp stand. Instead of, it's two different words. They're unrelated to one another. Okay, so let's keep going. I can't keep going. I read in verse 12, it says, a girded about his chest with a golden band. So, golden band. We'll get back to that, because that's going to be very important. Identifying what we're looking at. His head and hair were like wool, as white as snow, this is verse 14, and his eyes like flame of fire. Stop there. Eyes like flame of fire. We'll run across that again. Flame of fire. Huh. Well, okay, if I look at this lamp menorah I have up here, what's the one thing missing?
The wool.
No. Not the wool.
The flame.
On the menorah. The flame itself I don't have drawn. So let's draw a flame on all of these. There's a reason why there's a flame and a blossom. Two different groups of people. Or actually, two different groups of eyes. Two different sets of eyes. Because Messiah looks, which we're going to read that in a minute, but God looks too. They're both looking. All right, so let's keep going. No, I'm just using the flame of fire. It's not that it's recorded here. We'll record that in a minute. It's in a few chapters from now. So his eyes, his feet were like fine brass, as were refined in a furnace, a voice out of many waters. He had his right hand 7 stars. Okay, he has 7 stars going on here. Out of his mouth with a sharp two-edged sword. His countenance like the sun shining in the strength. So amongst this menorah, where is our 7 stars? You know, they're actually not here. The right hand of Messiah is a little different than his eyeballs. They're not recorded here in the menorah. Sort of. We'll discuss that in a minute, about 3 verses from now. It'll describe what the 7 stars are. What I want to focus on is his mouth. What's coming out of his mouth? Double-edged sword. What was the vision of Zechariah? What was it coming out of the base? Anybody recall the base of that thing? 2 branches.
Olive trees.
I'm just scribbling on there to get a general idea. Now, interesting. Now, why would I place the olive tree branches down here and claim like that's somehow his mouth? Right? That's what I'm implying.
If the mouth is below the eyes.
It is below the eyes. But these aren't actually necessarily just the eyes of God, of the Messiah. We'll read in a few chapters from now, they're also his crown. His crown's up top. Yeah. His crown has 7 branches to it. Not 12, not 100, not 1,000, not 1. It's 7. So what's beneath the crown?
His mouth.
The rest of him. His eyes, his mouth. Down here. What comes out of his mouth? The 2 witnesses. What do? They go forth and they have dual-edged sword. They cut both ways. The 2 olive branches. It's quite simple. It's not very complicated. But these are the symbols that we're dealing with. So God doesn't play with just one symbol and call it good. He uses it many, many, many times. So that's one of the details we're viewing when we're looking at this. So keep that in mind. We're not done yet. Oh, yes.
2 witnesses then.
This is referring to Zechariah, the version of it.
Right,
yes.
Yeah, the olive tree. And then linking it with this. So
right.
The double-edged sword. Is it the Older Testament and the Newer Testament? Is it the Torah and something else?
That's debatable. Right. I'm not really good at interpreting things of that nature, so I couldn't give you a really good answer for it. When it comes to symbolizing or having a symbol of in the Torah or the Bible anywhere and placing it as what we would see physically today, I have a hard time doing that.
Scripture itself, interpreting itself in the book of Hebrews,
right.
The word of God is a two-edged sword.
Yes, and then the 2 witnesses, when they speak, what comes out of their mouths? Death.
Separating the marrow from the...
Right, so it has tasks.
From the Spirit.
Right, so it has tasks. The symbols are legitimate as far as, for sure, if one is just one thing or if it's multiple items, that's too difficult for me to determine.
You got 2 points.
Yes, Ellie.
But you also have two branches of the family. One has the branch that has the Torah. One has the branch that has the Messiah.
Right.
Those
now,
two witnesses.
Right. Two separate identities. Both of them have 2 different opinions of the same thing they're looking at. Now, there's a little bit more detail here that I'm leaving that I haven't described yet. Zechariah points these drain into a bowl that collects. All right, so the last time I was up here, I had this really bowl, really, really big. There's nowhere in the Bible that says the bottom bowl is really, really big. This is my personal opinion. Either way, it's a collecting item. So I made it really big. I probably collected a whole bunch of oil. I don't really know. It doesn't matter. But the point is they drain down here, or they drain into some kind of a bowl structure that's on here. I got to keep going because I don't have the time to sit there and cover every single minor detail. So I apologize. So the Messiah speaks, verse 17. Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forever. Amen. And I have the keys to Hades and death. Write the things which you have seen. The things which will take place after this. Quote, verse 20. The mystery of the 7 stars, which you saw in my right hand. And the 7 golden lampstands. The 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches, and the 7 lampstands which you saw are the 7 churches. Stop. A lampstand, these are menorahs. The 7 menorahs you saw are the 7 churches. the seven stars and seven angels in charge of those churches. So I point out, there really isn't a place that says seven stars on here.
No.
Right.
But there are angels.
But there is. There is one blossom way down at the bottom of each menorah. Right in the dead center of that menorah. That blossom feeds all the other branches.
So that's the angel?
That would be the angel. This little blossom way the heck down here is all by itself.
So that's the Lord.
It is responsible for each of the eyes that it is looking at. One church has a menorah. That menorah contains one angel down here at the base. That angel then feeds the rest of that church. There are seven churches. A little complicated, but legit. There are seven, and they're all down here. Keep going, because there's a lot more detail than just this. Okay. Let's see, I want to go through... Let's keep Revelation a little further. I'm going to go through all of this. It would take forever. So, verse chapter 2. To the angel of the church of Ephesus, write these things. He who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden menorahs, I know your work, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. Let's see. Should I drop down real quick? I'll keep going. Okay. And you have preserved, and I have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your menorah from its place, unless you repent. He didn't say, remove your lamp. The entire stand is taken away. Well, why is that such a big deal? Why, he could have just said lamp, right? That would have worked. No, it wouldn't have. Because if you take away one lamp from that church, the church still has six lamps looking at it. So God's still looking at the church with his other six eyes. And the Messiah is still looking at the church with his other six eyes. And he has six out of 10 percentage, whatever that winds up being in percentage, is still benefits that church. Six-sevenths, whatever that winds up being a percentage, I don't really care. It benefits that church because they still have light. That was not the goal. He doesn't want to remove their lamp. He wants the entire light from all him and God removed from them. They're dead.
Because this particular church are hating what the Nicolaitans had done, which was a Gnostic.
Right.
It was a mixture.
Yeah, and nothing wrong with the hating process.
Right.
But they left where they sustained with their beginning. They rejected their initial starting point, and they moved on in their own direction, which is the same thing that the Nicolaitans did.
They didn't
follow through. They didn't stick through it. Okay. Let's see. Go a little further here. I got a lot to cover, so I apologize to any of you who I am. Have I lost anybody yet?
No.
Okay, I'm going to keep going here. Revelation chapter 4. This is chapter 4, verse 1 through 5. There's more details to the stand that we're looking at. It's not quite so simple. Like I said, God does use things a lot. After these things, this is chapter 4, verse 1. After these things, I looked and behold a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking to me, saying, come up here, and I will show you these things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like jasper and sardis stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones. On the thrones were 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices, and there were... stop. Seven lamps, singular, it's not a light stand, seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Stop. We have seven stars, which are the seven angels. In front of each church, right? We already read that earlier in a few chapters ago. Well, now we have seven lamps before God. Now, he doesn't have lamp stands in front of him. It's a single lamp stand or single lamps, individual lamps. What's their base look like? It's not recorded. Why? Because it doesn't matter. He has seven lamps in front of him. If you go back in the Old Testament, you go back to the temple, what has been before the throne of God? A menorah. What does he see? Seven lamps. They must be facing him in the temple. What are they doing here? They're facing him just like they're supposed to. They're the seven spirits of God. Now, are these seven spirits the same as the seven angels? I argue, yes. I believe they are the same. They both report to God and the Messiah. Just at two different times. Keep going. Oh, let's jump a little further. Okay, we're not done yet, though, because now we're getting another symbol in chapter 5 of the Messiah. Now, this is a little more detail. We actually might recognize this symbol a little better. Not that we didn't recognize the previous one with the two eyes and the swords coming out and lampstands. This one just has a little bit more detail in the focus of what it looks like. He adjusts his glasses, so to speak. Chapter 5. This is a verse. Oh, we'll go through 1 through 6 or so. And I saw the right hand of whom sat on the throne, a scroll written inside on the back, sealed with seven seals. Stop. Seven seals. Nothing in God is not recorded earlier. If we have seven seals recorded here in Revelation, there must be seven seals somewhere back in the temple. He doesn't do things arbitrarily. We'll get back to that in a minute. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll, to loose its seals?" All seven of them. And no one in heaven or on earth and under the earth was able to open the scroll or look at it. So I wept much, because no one was found worthy to open it and read the scroll or look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and loose its seven seals." Then I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having, quote, seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Stop a minute. That's what you're looking at. Now, we just read that the seven stars, in his right hand were the seven angels, one corresponding to each church. Each church has its own lamp stand and seven lamps within inside of that stand. We also have the seven flames that look before the throne of God are the seven spirits of God. Now it says here, the seven eyes and the seven horns are the seven spirits of God. That seems confusing. How can spirits be, you know, there are seven on the Messiah, but then there are seven over here with God?
It's the seven horns.
And seven eyes. Keep reading it.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
Seven horns and seven eyes.
Which are the seven spirits, or seven of God, sent out to all the earth. Because the Messiah was able to combine two symbols, not just one. What does this look like? A long stick.
An antler.
An antler. Also known as a horn. What does this look like? An antler. Looks like a horn. And this one, and this one, and this one, and this one. Guess what? You're looking at the seven horns of God, or a Messiah, and his seven eyes corresponding to each horn.
He has a menorah.
He has a menorah on his head. His head. It's a crown. Exactly. That's what's up here. Exactly.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Seven.
No, we have lots of other
ones. Crown him with seven crowns.
There's many, exactly.
Well, but actually, he's got 49.
Because he has lots of them.
Yeah, lots of them.
We're not going to get all the details. 49 because of 49 individual lamps with all seven stands. Okay, so we have the seven spirits of God who look before God, and they're always looking at him. Well, what are they looking at? They're looking at him, he's looking at them, but does he like to see lights?
No.
Is this God's problem? He likes to see lights in front of him? It must be, right?
They show him something.
They show him something.
Yes.
They show him the same thing they show the Messiah. They're reflecting what the Messiah is seeing. So what are they seeing? Well, as Zechariah pointed out, they're scanning the earth to and fro, and when they see something good, such as the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand, they report that and they rejoice.
Yeah.
Does that mean they also see things that aren't good?
Yes,
of course. You see, exactly. You wouldn't know what was good if you didn't know what wasn't good. How do they get their oil from? The olive tree, from the people. The people produced, not the high priest. Not the Levitical priest or the Levitical tribe. It's all the people produce the oil. They produce the fuel to allow these to look, allow these to see. And there's a reason we light the lights on Shabbat. We pray, God, please bless these people I am praying for. Look at my home. Examine what you see. Bless it. Hopefully don't curse it. Hopefully what I'm doing is pleasing to your eyes. There's reasons we like these things. It's just an arbitrary tradition. It's done for a purpose. So, this is where we're at. Keep going, because there's a lot more detail than just this. Okay, I'm going to get into this just because I think it's interesting. Revelation chapter 8. Oh, first of all, I haven't lost anybody yet. Okay. They kind of general idea of where I'm going, what I've said so far. So, Revelation chapter 8. Oh, hold on. I shouldn't go that far. That's a little quick. I need to back up a little bit. John saw a scroll with lots of writing on it, and there are seven seals on the scroll. Now, I mentioned earlier, there's nothing in the Revelations that's not going to be recorded earlier, maybe in less detail, but at least recorded earlier somewhere in the Bible, because then it's introducing new information, which may be, in fact, wrong information. You don't want to have wrong information. So, in this stick, we see that there are, in fact, there are, you have flowers, you have knops, you have bowls, you have branches, you have flames. Did I miss anything? I think that's what all of them. Are there seals on it?
No.
No. I don't see a seal. Or do I? You see, there's a detail, which we're going to get to shortly. A seal's purpose is to prevent something from becoming opened or loosed, right?
The seals keep the oil from going back down.
Sort of. We're not going to go there yet. We can't see those yet. They are there. We can't see them. So it keeps it to bind something. That's its purpose, right? Now, there's a unique thing. Now, I mentioned the fact that there's these branches come down. They fill in the two-edged sword. We mentioned it in Zechariah. I've interpreted this flower to be the star that he's referring to. I could be wrong, but it corresponds one per branch. It makes sense to me. And now we know there's a bowl down here. There's a knop down here. What's this knop look like?
What does what look like?
Knop, this little round disc, which you're looking at a 2D projection rather than a 3D object. What does the 3D object look like? We discussed this last time. A little round circle. Notice a wreath. Notice a round band. Commonly translated. Like a washer gasket.
Which would seal it.
Right. Commonly translated in the New Testament as belt. Interesting. Let's go back a little bit, because I think we read that, didn't we?
Yes.
We read that in Revelation chapter 1.
Messiah
has a gold belt.
Right under it.
He's not the only one who has a gold belt. There's more of them here in the book of Revelation that have gold belts. There are seven angels that have gold belts. And guess what those seven angels are holding? They are given seven bowls.
And they're holding them right there.
And they're holding them right here. A belt that binds you is around your chest. Actually, they're all wearing it around their chest, or it's around their arms included. They can't do much, a whole lot, until it's broken. So do we actually have a seal? My personal belief, we kind of do. It is recorded in a manner of speaking.
Like a disc.
It is like a disc. It's like a round belt. They're called belts or girdles around their chests, not just their waist. But
girdle, golden girdle.
Right. No, the word girdle or belt is the same word, but it's around their chest. A girdle is an older English version of it. Now, we think of girdles down lower, but that's not the case here. It's around the chest. That's what they're talking about. Chests up higher. Okay. They all have around the chest.
We say gird about.
It's wrapped around. It's wrapped or tied or bound somehow around the chest. So each of these have one. And there's one down here. Now, there's three up here, too, which we'll get to that in a little while. That's a separate story. That's a separate issue, which I don't have a full picture of, but it is a separate issue. I know that much. There's one down at the bottom, which we still have. He has one around his chest. And they're holding the seven bowls. So we're going to get there, because it's interesting. We're not done yet. So, okay. He comes, Lord. He breaks all the seals. So now they're all open. Now their arms are free to do what God has declared they're going to do. But there are a few things that have to happen first. It's not just arbitrarily, all things happen at once. It's sequential. God's not foolish. He has sequences of things. Else we wouldn't recognize it. We're going to jump through to Revelation chapter 8. When he opened the seventh seal. Now, I'm not going to go through all the seals because it doesn't matter. Well, it does, but not right now. Silence in heaven for half an hour. This is chapter 8, verse 2. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and were given to them seven trumpets. Now, which angels are these?
The ones we already read.
The ones we already read about. The ones they're always looking at. The seven lamps. They're always looking at God. These are the same guys. Same ones that are the seven branches on his crown. These are the seven angels in charge of each church. These are the same individual people, individual beings. There's nothing really fancy about here.
Why did they say another? And another angel came.
Oh, this is a separate angel. This is an eighth angel, so to speak. Another angel came, having a golden censer, and stood at the altar, was given much incense that he could offer up with prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. The smoke of the incense, the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer, filled it with fire, threw it to the earth, and there were noises, thunderings, and an earthquake. Those were separate angels. Now, go back. Sort of. This is verse 6. So, the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. These are the seven angels before God who were all given the seven trumpets. They are the ones who are about to sound. The first angel, of course, sounds. We're not going to go through all these things. They all sound. We already know that there are seven trumpets. We're not going to go through the seven trumpets because that's a lot. We'll come back to that in a minute. So, should I go to verse chapter 9? Where's chapter 9 here? Oh, no, I think I'm going to leave that alone. I apologize. That's a separate issue, which is going to be a bigger problem. So it's not a bigger problem. It's more detail that's going to go way beyond the scope of what I'm trying to discuss here. Let's go to chapter 11. That makes more sense. Seventh angel sounds. Now, we already went through all six of them, so this is the seventh one. He sounds. The king, the voice in heaven saying, the kings of the Lord have now become the kings of the Messiah. If we reign forever and ever. This is verse 15. I apologize. 11, verse 15. Reign forever and ever. 24 elders sat before the thrones, fell on their faces, worshiped God, saying, blessed, wonderful is here, blah, 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 blah. The last one sounds, but then what happens? Revelations chapter 16. It goes through let's go to chapter 15. That's more interesting. So it goes through all the various, the beasts and all the various things which we're not discussing today. Chapter 15. This is where we meet the other seven that have gold belts around their chests. The ones that the Messiah broke. So they can go do their tasks. Chapter 15. Let's see. Verse 5. After these things, I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And out of the temple came the seven angels, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure bright linen, and having their chests girded or belt bound with golden bands or belts.
Girdles.
Exactly. And one of the four living creatures gave to seven angels the seven gold bowls full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. And the temple was filled with the smoke and the glory and his power, and no one was able to enter. The seven plagues, the seven angels were completed. So we have seven angels with belts around them, which we already knew broke, but they still have the belt that still identifies them. They are given bowls, which they're holding here in our menorah, as we already can see. Now here you notice that there are three bowls on each branch, versus in the Revelation chapter discusses one bowl per angel. So why are there three on our symbol, but only one in the book?
Because God is very merciful.
What
is? He's only going to pour out seven instead of...
Instead of all of them.
Instead of 21.
22.
The
three bowls, as I mentioned last time, were designed for the three watches at night. All right? You have the earlier watch, you have the middle watch, you have the late watch. As the night goes, it goes obviously up through midnight and comes approaches daybreak. Well, you've consumed some oil through each of these bowls, and you go all the way through it. Ideally, a single bowl would have done it, but it wasn't. There wasn't enough to put a single bowl up there. It has a huge bowl. So, but three bowls are done it to give us a symbol as to what actually God is doing. God had a first watch, he has a middle watch, and he has a last watch.
You do not know when the householder will come.
You do not know. It could be anyone. But what is he watching? Well, if he gave Aaron the image that you've been chosen from the beginning all the way to the end, I'm willing to bet, this is me going out on a limb here, God's been watching all the way from Adam through on. He hasn't just started watching when Moses showed up. I think he was watching all the way to the beginning. So if he's watching the beginning, there is a first 2,000 watch, and what did he do?
Oh, my goodness.
Noah. He poured out his wrath. So he wouldn't do it again.
No, he said he wasn't going to do it again.
Exactly, he said he wouldn't do it again.
Mm-hmm. He said it'd be fire.
He would not do that again. He poured it out.
He did.
It means he has two watches left.
Yeah. Second one. Well, what about the
Messiah?
Was the Messiah?
Well,
Passover.
Yeah, that was the. The 1, 2, 3. The Exodus happened only a couple hundred years after the, or a thousand years or so after Noah.
Yeah, but it happened in the next.
It happened in this group. It happened in this group.
And the third one waiting to happen.
Who hasn't happened yet?
So
exactly.
There's only one bowl left.
For us.
That's us.
This is the top bowl is the one that's left. The other two sets of each of them,
are empty.
He already poured them out. Noah's and all of mankind held the wrath of the first bowl. Egypt and all of Canaan and everybody else who had the brunt of when Israel's growing pains got the pour out of the second bowl. They were wiped out. God said, I want Canaanites destroyed. And he destroyed Egypt in the process. That was a big deal. That really was a big deal. The last one's bigger. It's right before the flames burn out. Yep. Right before God stops watching.
Because the second bowl, which would equate to Egypt.
Oh, all the way from Egypt, all the way up through until Messiah.
You've got the same retribution here. You've got blood, you've got darkness, you've got all these plagues.
A whole bunch of plagues,
the whole
exactly. Yes. It's the wrath of God being poured out, in that case, in Egypt. Because he said he wouldn't do all of mankind again in the fashion he did to Noah, which was a big scale.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't say he wouldn't do it to anybody. He said he wouldn't do it to all mankind. He may still select individuals. Look at Sodom and Gomorrah. Look at Egypt. Look at Canaan. They still had the wrath of God poured out on them.
Right.
It just wasn't a huge global thing. It was an isolated group that got poured out. Tell the last bowl, the third set. And all seven angels are watching. They're collecting. They're holding the wrath of God. And they're going to pour it out. Dunk.
After the winds of God's wrath are being held back by the angel.
In a manner of speaking, yes. The wind is for individual ones, which is a separate symbol inside the temple, not the menorah. That, well, I won't get into what that symbol is. That takes its own problem. I know this is taking a long time, so I apologize for those of you. Let's see here. We got the general idea of what's going on. Go through my last pages.
This is cool.
Okay. Actually, you basically have the general idea of what's going on. So why is there an eighth bowl down at the bottom?
In the beginning.
No.
No.
Recall, not a bad guess, not a bad recall though. Each of these bowls, hold on a minute, each of these bowls have been collecting oil. Oil from the people. The people offer up to God, here is the oil. And he uses the oil to look, and look at them, examine their lives, examine their land, examine what happened to the country, everything that's going on, he's using and examining it. Well, if these are all full of the wrath of God, what is this one full of down here at the bottom? Well, could be. Or it could be more wrath. Because look who's holding these. Well, these, the top ones are held by seven angels. Well, then who holds the bottom one?
God does.
Messiah does. Messiah is holding this one, this bowl. Well, what's he going to do with it?
That could be the healing of the nation.
Could be.
Or it could be where Peter talks about the heavens and the earth rolling up like a great scroll being blessed with fire and lightning. Followed by a new creation.
My personal opinion is Revelation chapter 18.
What does he say?
Yep. After these things is Revelation chapter 18. That's my personal opinion. Verse 1, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated by his glory. And he cried mightily in a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of demons, and a prison for every foul spirit in a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have been to fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, lest you receive her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. And the cup which she has mixed, mixed for her double. And the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same manner and measure, give her torment and sorrow, for she says in her heart, I sit as queen, and I am no widow, for I will not see sorrow. Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will utterly be burned with fire, for strong is the Lord of God who judges her. Now, why would I think that this is that last bowl down here? Well, there's only a few clues given in that. Not very many. And they're not very strong ones, but they're there. In her cup, which is a single cup, mixed, of course, with blood and the wrath of God. Of course, now it says a single day she'll be poured out and she'll be wiped out. The reason I think that that's her cup is because the word for almond bowl is a little bit different than when you think of the word bowl. The word bowl we think of as a bowl. You know, you go out this way, you go to the store, it's full of stuff, you know, salads or whatever. It's a bowl. Well, the word in menorah, when it discusses the bowl, these aren't bowls. These are, if I get the word here, gibeah, which is the base of a flower. It's small.
What?
Small.
Cups?
It's a small little cup. Tiny little cup. The base.
Cup she,
exactly.
She's
going to pour out her cup, basically her cup on her, instead for practical purposes. It's her little cup. Now, I'm not saying like it's a tiny little microscopic thimble. It's small compared to a bowl. We don't call cups bowls. Some cultures might, but we don't. We don't call bowls cups. They're separate. Bowls are big, cups are small. It's a small. There's only a few clues, but in my opinion, like I said, this is my opinion, that one which the Messiah is holding, that one is hers. Because all of these bowls, these cups, are collecting the wrath of God. They have been. Every example we've ever been given has always been the wrath of God. So why the one down here be any different? I don't see why it would be different. Is it somehow unique in its appearance? Well, we don't know. Probably not. It's the base of a flower. So it's still watching. Because it's the base of a flower. Now, you've seen flowers. You have their petals. Well, on almond blossoms, they have petals, but they have this like cone shape to them, like a trumpet almost, which I discussed earlier. You know, trumpets. It's very worked very well with the seven flowers, seven trumpets. It's very, very good correspondence there. Well, the bottom of it, it looks like a trumpet, but that's what they call the gibia of a flower. It's the bowl of the flower. It's the small cup, the small portion of it, still collecting wrath of God. The only difference is the Messiah is the one that's holding on to it. Like I said, strictly my opinion. But that's why I believe was that last cup, that eighth cup. It's not a bowl that gets poured out, it's a bowl she's drinking. It doesn't get poured out. She's drinking it. She's drinking the wrath. She's drinking her own wrath. It's just God's going to make sure it consumes her. Messiah's going to make sure it consumes her. So, the whole point of why I did this, I know I'm 20 minutes past time, so I'm terribly sorry. In our homes, on Shabbat evenings, we have our candles we light, right? What do we do with those candles? We light them and we let them burn and we pray.
We pray.
Oh, God, please, you know, bless this person, bless that person. Look upon my home. Come join me in my Shabbat. So when we're lighting these candles, are we supposed to light two or seven or one or 100? Well, that's up for debate. Seven makes a lot of sense. Because two, although completely legitimate, because the Messiah has two eyes, both of them are flames of fire, they're both looking at you. But seven seems to be God's choice. What are you having him look at? Do you want two angels to look at your home? Do you want all seven to look into your home? Now, we don't know the difference between each of these angels. We have a general idea of the churches they were in charge of. And I get a general idea of the kind of person that they were trying to work with and try to convince to understand and follow God. We don't know anything about them. So what does one look at versus another look at? I don't know. No one knows. Is one better than the other? Not likely. That's the reason why every one of these are completely even all the way across. No one stick or lamp higher than the other. They're all even. They're all equals.
Everything that describes each one is like the same. As the next.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
All the descriptions
are identical. Now, the reason I wanted to bring it up, not that it's a big deal to you or to anybody else, two is lights or 100 lights, I don't really care. The point is, God used a symbol that he said, this is a holy symbol. This is what I want. This is what I use. This is what I do. If you want me to come and look at you, then invite me to look. I think the menorah is a key tool that God uses. He piled a lot of stuff inside of it. Now, I didn't cover all of these symbols. There are three here that I left. I do not have a complete answer. I believe they are the three angels. I know. I believe they're the three angels. And I believe it's Revelations 14. I think it's... Let me real quick here. Yes, I personally, my personal opinion, I believe that the three angels referring to Revelation 14, this is verse 6 through 11. It says, another angel flying in the midst of the heaven, having the everlasting gospel, preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God, give him glory, for the hour of his judgment has come, worship him, made heaven and earth. And then a second angel, followed, saying, Babylon has fallen, she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Then the third angel followed, saying with a loud voice, anyone who worships the beast in his image receives a mark on his forehead or his hand. I'm not going to go through all of it, but that's my personal opinion. So I have two main opinions that I brought in here. I don't know if they're right or wrong, but they're just my opinions. And that this bowl is held by the Messiah, and I believe that is chapter 18 of Revelations. And these three last bound seals, so to speak, correspond to Revelations 14. Am I right? Probably not. I don't really care. This is my opinion. The rest of it wasn't opinion.